The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hello, you guys. Welcome back to the What We Said podcast, but especially me. Welcome me back.
Welcome back.
I'm back and I'm nervous. I was like thinking, it felt like I was going on to someone else's podcast this morning when I was getting ready. Usually she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to record the podcast. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm nervous.
You're being interviewed today.
Yeah. But no, I'm nervous and excited because I missed you guys.
I am so happy to have you back. There's nothing like the OG, you know, the original thing.
Duo, yeah.
And yeah, it was fun to do some little guest episodes. Honestly felt like you weren't gone for that long. I think it's because we batched.
I know.
Like quite a few episodes, but I was thinking about it. I'm like, oh, you're already back? I'm so happy.
That I know.
It's just because obviously it's just easier.
I know.
When it's the two of us.
And
I don't have to like prep as many, you know, lead the whole thing. So
I know.
I'm very happy to have you back. Welcome.
Same. Thank you.
What should we talk about first? We have so much to catch up on. Before we dive into your birth story, what you've been up to, what's been going on, we need to talk about our Coffee Dose collab because it just came out. When you're listening to this now, it's probably been like a week, but it came out on May 1st. And we collabed and created a little latte with Coffee Dose, which is a local coffee shop in Orange County. They have 5 different locations. And it is the one that we're both drinking. If you're watching on YouTube, which it's basically gone at this point.
Yeah, mine is just my backwash at this point.
We wanted to show you guys the vibes, but then we basically drank the entire thing before we came to record. And you know we can't like stop talking. So we obviously were talking for a bit before this. So I've been trying to save a little bit of what's left.
The
so you
condensation
can see it.
On the side.
Yeah.
They looked prettier the second we got them, but yeah.
We took some videos and some pictures though. Obviously, if you guys don't follow us on Instagram, you can go look at what the drink looks like and with the sticker and everything. It's so cute.
This is the definition of I'm the chugger and you're the sipper.
Yep, totally. Chelsea's is like completely gone. But basically, it is, you can either get an iced matcha latte or an espresso latte. It's made with oat milk for anyone if you guys have like nut allergies or anything, but you can also customize it. You can get it with almond milk or whole milk or whatever your preference is. But it is an iced blueberry marshmallow matcha. Or espresso, like I
mentioned.
Even
the name.
If you're a coffee girl. This is the drink of the summer. It's so good. You can get an optional little like sweet cream topper. It's baby blue. And it's also made with the blueberry and marshmallow on top. It just makes it really creamy. But again, optional. And yeah, it's available at all Coffee Dose locations. And it's really delicious. You can also get it half sweet if you don't like. It's not like overly sweet to where you're going to be. I don't know. It's not crazy at all. But if you are someone who like really doesn't like
sweet at all.
Yeah, sweetness in your drinks, then you can get a half sweet.
It's not an overly rich sweet to me. It's kind of more like fruity sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're not. Some flavored matchas that I get at some places are way too sweet in the way of it feels like rich and overindulgent for a morning drink. But this is, I think it's a perfect amount of sweet.
Yeah, for sure. And
but
if you get the,
obviously you can do whatever you want.
If you don't get the like cold foam or whatever, it's going to be even less, a little bit less sweet, I think, because that adds to it. So for any of our girlies who are in Orange County, go check it out. You can look on our Instagram for more details. Is there anything else about it? I just wanted to lay out all the info. Let me actually look because
I think also the pink straws are just at their Irvine location.
Not Irvine.
Oh.
Costa Mesa.
Costa Mesa.
Yeah, yeah. Their flagship, like, big cafe.
Yes. But so if you don't get a pink heart straw at the other locations.
That's why.
I'm sorry.
It's available iced only, blue marshmallow sweet cream topper. Yeah, 5 Coffee Dose locations. Oh, and it's from May 1st to June 30th. So it's all of May and all of June. You guys can get this drink.
It's so good, you
guys. It's really good. Yeah. Like, you have to get it. And I'm hoping that we run into, oh, it's also, it's called the Valley Girl. The Valley Girl Latte, of course. And I'm hoping that we run into some of you guys.
I know.
At Coffee Dose and we can, you know, because we're going to be picking this drink up all the time.
Every day.
You better believe.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be really fun. But I wanted to give all those details. Last week when we had Leif on, or when it was me and Leif, when you were still gone, I was trying to recount. I was trying to give all the information for the collab. And I was like reading off of this. In the YouTube video, I was thinking that it looked like I like didn't know anything about the collab. But really, it was just that there were so many details I didn't want to miss. I'm like, it's an iced blueberry, like reading off a script. But I didn't want to miss out on any of the details. So I think that's about it. And you guys should definitely go check it out if you're in OC. And we hope you love it so much.
Take a picture, tag us. obviously, you're going to want to take a picture. It's so cute.
It's so cute. The picture will
take itself.
Will take itself. You will have to. You will have no choice because it's so cute and aesthetically beautiful. You'll love it. It also has a little custom sticker that says it's hard being perfect.
Which it is.
Which it is. It's really a challenge. So anyway, enough about that. How's mama?
How's life?
How's mama? How's mama doing?
You know what? I used to, maybe you feel this way too, be so against mama, the phrase mama. And now it's like, I can't not. Like saying mom feels weird. Like, how's mom? Like, that's weird. Like, it's only right to say like, I'm a mama now. Like,
so true.
You know? It's like mom's like trying too hard to just be, or like mother, I guess, but.
They have their place.
Like even when I'm commenting on people's things, like who just had a baby or something, it's so, I don't know what else to say besides congrats, mama. Like, you know what I mean?
Wait, I'm dying.
What am I supposed to say? Congrats, mom? That sounds so weird.
It sounds like very formal.
Congrats, mother.
It's funny because I was in, when I was in Miami, I was kind of like, I say it almost ironically.
Yeah.
But I'll be like, mama's got to eat. Like, I'll say something like that. And I'm like, oh, not me being so cringy right now. I'm like, mama's tired.
No.
Like, no. Please stop.
I think we just need to embrace it.
I agree. You guys, here's your reminder that Mother's Day is May 12th. I feel like Mother's Day, Father's Day, those days just creep up on me. And sometimes I forget to plan accordingly for those types of holidays. So Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Whether your mom's like a little fashionista, loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas, perfect for her style. They also have a lot of beauty products and fragrances and things like that. A lot of, you really just can't go wrong. Shopping for Mother's Day can be a challenge because if you wait until the last minute, it's hard to like, you know, maybe order something in time or find something in time. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it very fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day.
So you can shop by price. So you can do, you know, look for something under $25 or $100 and under. You can search for any category like fragrance, handbags. And they also have gift lists like for the mom who has everything, gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted. And maybe, you know, if you're going to get your grandma something as well, because don't forget, she's also a mother. They have so many popular gifts. Like for example, Beats headphones, digital photo frames, a Polaroid camera. I think these are really great things to get a mom because I love making my mom cry with a good gift, and photos or something like that to document memories are just always something great. So go to Macy's.com/giftfinder and get your mom something nice. Treat her for Mother's Day.
I posted a photo the other day. I was like, here are my Friday night plans. And I was laying in bed with a red light face mask on. And some of you guys had messaged me asking me what brand it was. And the answer is Bond Charge. And I'm very happy because they're a sponsor of the podcast. We have a little code for you guys. So Bond Charge is a holistic wellness brand with a huge range of evidence-based products to optimize your life in every way. Founded on science and inspired by nature, all Bond Charge products adopt ancestral ways of living in our modern day world. Their extensive range of wellness products help you sleep better, perform better, have more energy, recover faster, balance hormones, reduce inflammation. The list is endless. They have blue light glasses, infrared saunas, red light therapy, EMF management, and circadian friendly lighting. They help you naturally address the issues of our modern day way of life effortlessly and with maximum impact. So, like I mentioned, my favorite product so far has been their red light face mask. This can help with eczema, migraines, acne, wound healing, just relaxation, razor burns, sore jaw. They have tons and tons of benefits. And red light therapy has been reviewed in over 4,000 peer-reviewed studies, with 400 plus being double-blind placebo trials. And not only do those studies show amazing health benefits, but not one has shown any negative side effects, which is amazing. You can wear this mask for like 10 to 20 minutes each day. I do it a few times a week, and I'll just do it while I'm in bed. So you can do it while you're whatever. If you want to multitask, you can put it on while you're doing something, or you can just lay in bed and relax. Sometimes I just do it while I'm on my phone or my computer or while I'm like reading. And it's so relaxing and nice. And I do feel like just my face in general with pregnancy has been very kind of just getting like inflamed and puffy. And this genuinely feels like it helps. So I've been using it a couple times a week for my nighttime routine.
When I walked out with this mask on, Case was absolutely shook, but I also like to wear it at night, like, you know, 10 minutes before I go to bed, maybe if I'm reading my Kindle or scrolling for a little bit. It's so nice, especially when you are pregnant or postpartum and you can't do some, you know, facial things that you would often like to do to improve collagen or things like that. This red light face mask is so nice and just feels good doing something nice for your face at the end of the day after just absolutely annihilating it with blue light all day. So go to bondcharge.com and use the coupon code what we said to save 15% off. That's bondcharge.com and use coupon code what we said to save 15%. Go check it out.
So yeah. How are you?
Mama's great. Mama's good. Big mama. I'm good.
It's actually trippy. Like that you have no stomach now.
I cannot. Oh my gosh. I don't mean to brag. I cannot.
Please brag.
I couldn't be happier that I'm no longer pregnant and that I don't have like this basketball on my stomach anymore. That I can lay on my stomach and just like bend over to put my own shoes on. Like it is truly unbelievable.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. And that's honestly where the story starts is being absolutely uncomfortable. And when did I stop recording? Like, I think my last time I recorded, when we were recording, I think I was 37 or 38 weeks, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so.
Which, if you don't know, you have a due date, okay? And that's on 40 weeks of pregnancy. And your due date only, it doesn't really mean that's when you're going to have your baby. Obviously, it's actually very rare that you have your baby on your exact due date. It's just the middle of when you could have your baby. So you can have your baby anytime within a 4-week span, which is actually insane. Like,
it's like a pretty big gap.
Yeah, because you could have it the first day you turn 38 weeks pregnant. You never know. So you have to have everything ready pretty much right before you turn 38 weeks pregnant. And then it's just a waiting game because you don't know. It could be this week, next week. Or it could be in a freaking month.
Yeah.
So I went on maternity leave and I didn't want to tell anybody my due date. Not because like it really doesn't matter. But last time I was so overdue and I had no idea really that you didn't just have your baby on your due date. I genuinely was like, December 13th, everybody. Like, yeah. Write it down. That's when baby's coming. But I learned this time that that's just not the case. I wasn't even planning. So my due date was on Easter, which was March 31st this year. And first of all, I was like, if I have this baby on Easter, I will have a Christmas baby and an Easter baby. I mean, Easter's not the same every year, but literally just the holiest children ever. But I knew better. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go overdue. Everyone says with your second or third, it's a little sooner. But I just had this feeling like, no, I'm definitely not going to be early. Maybe I'll be on time, maybe a couple days after. But most likely, I'm going to be waiting until 42 weeks, probably. So Easter came and went. Was just hanging out at home, just getting everything prepped, nesting like freaking crazy, especially when I was done with work. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'd sent in like all the stuff that we had prepped for the next month or two. And I went to town, like making sure everything was packed, like my hospital bag packed, making sure Casey's room was organized, writing out an itinerary for my sister who was going to be watching our baby or watching Case.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is also our baby.
The new child.
Literally. And yeah, just making sure I had everything ready. But then I also knew I was going to be waiting. So yeah, Easter came and went. We hung out on Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was like a week later. Okay. So I want to give let me give a trigger warning that this is a positive birth story. Okay. Things went very well. And I say that as a trigger warning because I don't want any like, birth is never what you think it's going to be. Like, I just don't believe that anyone has exactly everything that they want happen. But it doesn't always have to be a negative experience. There's definitely things you can't control. And that's not to say, like, if you do have a negative birth experience, it's your fault or anything like that. But it's nice to know that it's a possibility, not a promise, that it can be a very positive experience. Mm-hmm. And things can go the way you want them to. So, anyways, I just want you guys to know, first of all, I'm aware of that not everything is like your control and you know, things happen. But this was a great positive experience. So, oh my gosh, there's just so much. But basically, 41 weeks came and I had my appointments. And at 41 weeks, they start to like test you a lot. So they do like NST. Have you gotten one of those yet?
Non-stress test.
Yeah.
No, not yet.
They usually don't do it until like the very, very end. But they put this band on your belly. They just like track their movements to make sure they're moving. And then they do ultrasounds to make sure you have enough fluid in your sac. And also on our things we didn't know episode when
things
I went over.
Understand.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Things we don't know. Well, that too. I was saying you can't be born in your sack. Uh-huh. Like your water has to break. I think I said that. However, a bunch of people commented, and also I learned this, is that your water doesn't have to break. It's very rare, but you actually can have your baby in the sack still. Mm. Like it will just be floating in its amniotic fluid in your sack. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah.
But also your water can like not break until as you're pushing, like at the very end.
Mm.
So anyways, fun fact. 41 weeks, had to go get my non-stress test and my ultrasound to make sure the fluids were right. Everything's good. I knew it was going to be fine. I felt the baby moving all the time. You know, I knew he was okay. And I think my appointment was at like 9:30 or 10 in the morning. And so I like got dressed in my sweat set that at that point was the only sweat set that fit me. And that was comfortable. And I was like, okay, bye, Case. Like, love you. Going to the doctor. See you later. Said bye to Nick and grabbed some food on my way there. Went to the doctor. Was literally like, oh, this is going to be like a 10-minute appointment. And then I'll be back home. And spoiler alert. Didn't come home until I had a baby. I went to the doctor. They did an ultrasound and they were like, your fluid is low. You're supposed to have over 5, I don't know, inches, centimeter. I don't know. The number you want is between a 5 and an 8 at mm-hmm. that point. And they're like, you're a really low 5. So we're going to send you to labor and delivery, aka the hospital, and see what your midwife wants to do and probably need to go get another ultrasound just to make sure because that's really low. So I'm freaking out. I'm like, okay, great. But also I'm like, okay, I'm 41 weeks. I just think the worst case scenario is they're going to have to induce me.
Mm-hmm.
But the baby was fine on the NST and everything. Like he was totally fine. His heart rate, his movements. But on my way to the hospital, I'm calling Nick and I'm calling Abby. And I'm like, hey, I think they're going to check my ultrasound. And if it's still low, I'm almost positive they're going to induce me literally today or tomorrow. Like, mm-hmm. I don't see the world in which they'd be like, oh, it's fine. Just wait it out, especially yeah. if it's already 41 weeks. So I'm freaking out because I'm like, oh, I'm literally going to the hospital right now to have a baby. I was
not planning on that.
Not planning on it. But I was also trying to, before I got another ultrasound, I was like, okay, I'm going to mentally prepare myself that I could be induced and I could be giving birth today, which I wasn't really expecting. I was honestly expecting to be waiting a whole nother week. So mm-hmm. yeah, I called Nick and I was like, just be ready. I called Abby. I was like, hey, because she was going to watch Case for us. And I was like, just be ready
mm-hmm.
for whatever happens. And this was on a Friday. So luckily, like she was going to be off work for the weekend and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay.
We were also supposed to do a taste test for
For
this coffee dose collab.
Yeah.
And we jokingly were like, well, I was like, I had told them, I was like, if Chelsea's in labor, then like,
I won't come.
Yeah. And then you text me, you're like, I can't come. I'm literally at the hospital. I was like, oh, you're kidding.
I know.
So
I was fully, last time it was the complete opposite where every day I was like, today's probably going to be the day I would wake up every morning so sad that I didn't go into labor that night. This time was a complete opposite. I just assumed I was going to be 42 weeks the very end. So every day I woke up, I'm like, I still have a week left before I have this baby.
Probably kind of not nice. But like good to have that mentality just because it's
for
not
sure.
as...
You're not as impatient.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, definitely. So, yeah, I'm like driving to the hospital. I'm calling Nick. I'm like crying. And I was like, I know everything's fine. It's going to be fine. But I'm just now going through the emotions of like, oh my gosh, this is happening. Like, also, I am a little bit worried about him, but also I know deep down he's okay, but whatever. So I get to the hospital at like 12:30. I check in and I go to triage, which is like the place before you go into your room. And I'm like laying there doing another NST, which is 20 minutes, by the way. It's like actually the most annoying thing because you have that on your belly. And I'm just sitting there waiting. And then they come do the ultrasound and she doesn't say anything. She's just like doing the ultrasound. And I was like, okay, I'm like, I'm trying to look and see if I can read it or like see how much fluid is there. But she's like, okay, I'm going to go send the results to your midwife and I'll talk to you soon. So I'm just like sitting there and waiting for her to come talk to me. So she comes in and she's like, hey, so your fluid's actually a 7. And I was like, okay, so perfectly normal, perfectly correct. So everything looks perfect, like basically.
Why did they tell you it was 5?
I don't know. I think
just
maybe
misread
just,
it?
Yeah, maybe the way that he was or something. I don't know.
Interesting.
So I was like, okay, cool. So I can just go home and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
And then, but my midwife was like, you will have to come back tomorrow morning at this point because we got one result or something. She was like, I want to keep monitoring you. So you'll have to come back tomorrow and then probably Monday just for more testing, like do this test again. And I was like, oh my gosh, So that's not, I don't want to really go home and then have to come back here every day until I go into labor. Like, that just seems like too much to just.
When you're already overdue.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. Okay, that's annoying. And I wouldn't have had to do that, I don't think, if I didn't have that one result, but whatever. She was like, if I were you, like, I would just want to get it over with. She's like, I say, she was so like, I love this midwife too. I have multiple midwives. It's like a midwife group, but mm-hmm. I've met them all. So it's just who's ever on at the hospital. It's who's ever on shift. That's mm-hmm. who's like going to deliver your baby. So she was like, if I were you, she's like, I would want to be done. She's like, and it makes me a little nervous to like send you home at 41 weeks if your fluid is low or whatever. And I was thinking in my head when she's saying this, like, I know I'm fine. Like, I know I don't need to be induced. There's literally no medical reason for me at this point to be induced. And that's kind of what she's saying. She's more like, maybe we just
for your
what
own.
If we just, yeah. you know, got it started. And so I call Nick and she's like, you talk to your husband and like, you think about it. And so I called Nick and I'm like, I'm already in the hospital. I'm already checked into triage. And she was saying like, she could just put the balloon in there. For those of you who don't know, it's like a catheter. They put it in your cervix and then it like blows up. It looks like a water balloon and just like supposed to dilate you. And sometimes that it's more of like a mechanical way to induce instead of hormonal. Mm. So it's like the first thing that they do. Yeah. So a lot of times she was saying with second time moms, this is why she was saying we should just do it. She was like, second time moms, usually their body knows how to go into labor at this point. So once you start getting dilated, your body will be like, oh, I guess it's time to go. Like, then it will release the hormones it needs to start contracting, whatever. So I was like, okay, like taking all of the information is. And she also checked me at that point. She did a cervical check and she was like, let's see how like dilated you are. And mind you, I had never had Braxton Hicks. Have you had any Braxton Hicks yet? I never had any either of my pregnancies. And
it's when your stomach gets like super tight, right?
Yeah. It's like a practice contraction. Yeah. So it doesn't hurt or anything. It's just like, yeah, your stomach gets super tight.
Maybe I have.
It's kind of hard to tell, I think. Yeah. I never had them and I would always be like, I don't think so. Sometimes maybe it feels like he stretches out. So then my stomach feels tight, but it doesn't feel like, I don't know. It's hard to tell. Some people are like, yeah, I have them all the time.
I don't think I have them.
Yeah. So I hadn't had any of those, but I had, I'm just going to tell you guys now, I'm going to get into a little bit of like disgusting details, but that's just the way it is. I did have my mucus plug coming out like a little bit at a time
when
I would like wipe. No, when I would wipe like weeks previous, like the last, when I turned like 39 weeks, like every other day I would be like, I think that's part of my mucus plug. So she checked me and she was like, okay, you're almost 3 centimeters dilated. And I was like, oh, that is amazing because last time, just brief history, my labor was so long last time and it was, I think I was laboring where I was like, these are painful contractions and I was just like, not okay. For like 20 hours, it took me that long to get to a 4. So nice. I went to the hospital like thinking I was about to have the baby last time and I was at a 2. Like I had been like having contractions all night and I was at a 2. So I didn't get checked this time for that reason because it's so discouraging when you think you've made progress and they're like, you're at a 1 or a 2. So she's like,
so
you're almost a 3.
At this point, you hadn't even had contractions and you're already at a 3.
I felt nothing. I was like, oh my gosh. She's like, you're almost at a 3.
And the balloon wasn't in there yet?
No.
Okay.
This was just on a regular Friday.
Yeah.
And so she was like, oh yeah, the balloon will get you to a 5. Like she was so confident. She's like, I think it'll like make you go into labor. So that's what I was telling Nick. I'm like, I'd have to come back anyways. She really thinks the balloon's going to work. And I feel like when she told me I was already at 3, I was like, I probably will go into labor anyways in the next couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm already 41 weeks. Like, yeah. So I'm already checked in. I've already told Abby she can come now. I've already prepped my mom too because she was going to come help watch case as well. And it was just kind of like good timing. And everything was already like getting ready to be prepped, I guess. So Nick was like, I think we should just do it. Like, if you're good for it, I'll do whatever you want to do. But like, if she wants you to, if your midwife says that that's like what she recommends, like maybe we should just do it. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. And I feel at peace with it. And so I was like, yeah, let's do it. And then she checks me into my room. She's like, okay. She's all excited. The nurses are like checking me in. Like, how are you? And as soon as I get in the room, I literally could not stop crying. Like, I was just like sobbing. And honestly, not even happy tears. I was like freaking out. I was like, I got in there and I was like, okay, wait, what did I just do? Like, I just said yes because I was feeling good about it in triage, but now I'm checked into my room. I have all my stuff. Nick's coming. Everything's in motion. Like, I cannot stop it now. Like,
yeah.
And I was also feeling excited. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have this baby. Like my emotions were just like,
yes,
going crazy. And also my nurse came in and she was like, this is the nicest lady. And she was like, asked me all these questions and whatever, taking my vitals. And she was like, I literally can't even say it without crying. She was like, is this your second? And I was like, I just was literally instantly started crying. I was like, yeah. Or no, she said, is this your first? I said, no, I already have a son. And she was like, oh, she's like, oh, he's going to miss his mom. And bye. I instantly just started sobbing, like uncontrollably sobbing. And I was trying to kind of hide it from her because she was like looking at her clipboard and she just turns to me. She's like, are you okay? I was like, no. I was like, I'm literally not okay.
I feel like that's the worst thing to say.
I know. She was like kind of trying to be sweet, like, oh, he's going to miss his mom, but like, whatever. And I was like, oh, that is exactly what I was thinking this whole time when I was driving to the hospital. I was like, if I get induced, like, I didn't even realize I had like
no more time.
Yeah,
to, like
yeah. That was my last morning with him. Which is like, it's really not, hindsight, it's not a big deal. But in the moment, I was just like,
a huge transition.
Going over it. Yeah, I was just like, oh my gosh. I was like playing cards with him that morning. I'm going to really try not to cry this whole time so I can speak properly. But I was just like, was I present enough while we were playing cards? Like, I didn't know that was going to be my last time. Like, whatever. Aww. So when she said that, I was just like, cool.
He's going to miss his mom.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
I'm like, trust me. I know.
Trust and also, me. That's all I've been thinking about.
I was also just really wanting to labor at home this time. That was like my main thing. Like, I think I even answered that on a Q&A on Instagram. Like, what do you want to do differently this time? And I was just like, I want to labor at home for as long as possible. Because last time I was at the hospital for so long. I went there, like I said, when I was like 2 or 3 centimeters dilated. It just took me forever. I felt like it stressed me out a little more to be at the hospital because I felt pressure to
or
just
comfy
like
be at home.
Yeah. And so I also didn't want to be at the hospital away from Case this time. Last time I was like, I could be in the hospital for 5 days. Like, I don't have anyone at home that's waiting for me. Like, this time I don't want to be at the hospital that long. Like, I want to get back to Case and just like be home. And so I was also kind of freaking out about that. I'm like, what if this just takes, like, what if I get induced? Yeah. And it's not working. I'm not progressing. And yeah, it just takes days and I'm gone from Case. And literally when I left, I was like, I'll see you soon. I'm going to the doctor. Like, I didn't get to properly prep him to be like, I'm going to the hospital. Like, I'm going to go bring back baby brother.
Yeah.
Like, so I was just like, oh my gosh, I feel like a liar for so long. That I was just like, see you soon.
Yeah.
And then I'm just gone for like 2 nights. And anyway, so I told, it ended up being fine because Nick was like, I like went in there and I prepped him. Like, this is like the saddest part. This is probably the most I'll cry. But he's like, I was like prepping him. Like, mom's at the hospital. Like, she's going to go get baby brother. Like, they'll be home soon, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to like explain to him what was happening. Because I kept calling him like, please tell Case. Like, I like didn't lie to him. Like,
yeah.
Try to explain to him that, you know, what's happening. Anyways, back to the actual story. That was just a most emotional part for me. I feel like where I was like having my last moment of letting myself be sad before I was like, okay, new chapter, about to bring in, meet this new baby. And like, it's very exciting and I can't wait to meet him. And then I can kind of like just do the thing, you know?
Yeah.
So once Nick got there, he got there at like 3 p.m. or something like that. And once he got there, I was totally fine. But it was just like, while I was alone in there, I started freaking out. I was just like, oh my gosh, what if this doesn't work? What did I sign up? Now I'm stuck. I have my bracelet. I'm stuck here. Like, I can't. I could leave if I want
to.
But Nick got there and I was like, okay, everything's fine. I just like felt instant relief. I was like, okay, everything's fine. Abby's with Case and Case is obsessed with Abby. So really, I didn't even think he was actually going to miss me. They're like, he's going to miss you. I'm like, no, I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine. He's obsessed with like just playing with other people.
Yeah.
So he'll be totally fine.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Nick got there like 3. And then the midwife came in at like 5 p.m., I think it was, and put the balloon in. And if you have to get the balloon, a lot of people will start with that if you're like 42 weeks or something like that, because it is like the least invasive way to get induced. Like I said, it's more mechanical. It's not as like hormonal.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard horror stories about the balloon, like how painful it was, how horrible it was. And I don't know if that's because it was some people's first time giving birth. And I just think in general, like your first time, sometimes things take a little bit longer because your body's just not used to like giving birth. It's never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell you, it was really like, I didn't feel a thing. Like, it was not
that bad.
No.
Well,
they just like stick in this. I mean, and I don't know if this is because I was already dilated too. But they just stick in a catheter up your vagina and then they blow up the balloon. So they don't put the balloon blown up in, mm-hmm. obviously. And they just like pump it up with saline and you just sit there with like cords hanging out, just waiting for it to fall out. And she's like, oh, yeah, it'll take like 10 to 12 hours. Usually we'll come and check on it. We'll like tug it in 10 to 12 hours. So just try and sleep, because this was at like 5 p.m. So she's like, just try and sleep all night. Impossible at the hospital, by the way. Like, that's also why I didn't want to labor at the hospital, because
they come in a lot and check on you.
Yeah, they have to monitor you like every hour. So, and not just like pop their head in. It's like, oh, hey, I need to like do the Doppler on your stomach, or I need to like have the thing on your belly or whatever. Take your vitals, mm-hmm. like your blood pressure or whatever. So I didn't feel anything. Like, while the balloon was in, I started feeling a little crampy at first. And then I started feeling what I thought were like Braxton Hicks, mm-hmm. where it was like tightening of my stomach, but I wasn't feeling any pain or any, not even like a period cramp. Like, it was just like a tightening. And me and Nick just laid there. We watched Bruce Almighty, which, by the way, is such a funny movie. Like, we were dying laughing. And it was honestly kind of fun. Like, the night we were like trying to sleep and then we'd have to get monitored, but I wasn't in any pain. We were both just feeling really excited. And like, honestly, it was low key kind of a nice little getaway. It was just like us two. And yeah, I wasn't feeling uncomfortable. I started timing when my stomach got tight and I was like, these are pretty consistent. Like, I don't know what's going on, but she would come in, the nurse, and like check my stomach with a Doppler and be like, she's like, do you feel that? She's like, you're having a contraction. And I'm like, she's like, I think. She's like, you're feeling like your stomach is so tight right now. Like, yeah. I think that's a contraction. And I'd be like, I genuinely don't like feel anything. Like, I was like I feel like getting tight. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like getting tight, but I don't feel pain. And let me just tell you, the reason I'm saying this is because last time, you guys, I was not okay. Like, from the very first contraction I had, I was like in pain and being like, oh, like this hurts. Like, not zen at all.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, okay, I don't know. Like, I mean, I feel it tightening, but whatever. And I was kind of like, I hope this balloon's working. Because I was expecting to, like, start feeling hard contractions and, like, you know.
Yeah, get it going.
Yeah, get everything moving. So I was kind of nervous. And then at, like, 1:30 a.m., like, in the middle of the night, I got up to go to the bathroom. And they kept saying, like, just tug it to see when you go to the bathroom to see if it'll come out. Like a tooth. They said, like, a loose tooth. And I'm like, that seems pretty hard. Like, how hard am I supposed to be tugging this thing?
Yeah.
So I tugged it when I went pee. And I had kind of felt something like down there that was amiss, like something maybe sliding out. And so I went to the bathroom and it was the baby's head. No, I'm just kidding.
Bye. There he was.
Like, he was there in the toilet. No, I tugged it and it came out. Well, let me tell you, that got me ready for birth more than anything. The balloon, this big. And it like came out with ease. I'm like, that's, first of all, I thought my pussy was tight. Second of all, I'm like, I guess not. Jeez. Like, but then I was like, oh, that's like the size of a freaking head. Like, you double that and that's not that bad.
And you still weren't feeling like pain?
No.
What in the world?
So I was okay. So I was like, I'm at a 4 or 5 now, probably, because the balloon doesn't fall out until it's like big enough. But it genuinely was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Anyways. It was scary to be like, how did that just come out of me? But second of all, it was very encouraging because it was like, oh, I'm glad, because that means my cervix is like soft and, you know, whatever.
Things are progressing at least, at the very least.
So I called the nurse and I texted my doula and I was like, hey, the balloon fell out. So I'll let you know, but I'm like at a 4 or 5 now. The midwife's going to come check me and then we'll like make a plan from there. And so I was still kind of nervous at this point. Like, I hope this is working. Like, I know that now I'm at a 4 or 5, but I just hope that this gets it kickstarted, because that, like, my body is like in on it now. So she comes in and she's checking me. And this is a humble brag, because I want you guys to know, I want this to be encouraging. That's the main moral of the story, because I am the world's biggest wimp when it comes to pain. Like, genuinely. Last time I was not okay. Like, I did it and I was happy and I loved my birth last time. But if you ask Nick or my mom who was there, like, I was not handling myself well. Like, I was not like, just breathe. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like laying down, just basically like letting it happen to me.
Yeah.
And just feeling all of the pain and just complaining. I complain about every ailment I have, like, constantly. I pass out if the pain is a little too much. Like if I dislocate my knee, I'm passed out instantly. If I see blood, pass out. Mm-hmm. Like I am not just a normal.
I'm not a normal girl.
Yeah, I'm not a normal strong.
I am also a baby.
Like so. If I get cut, I'm not like, oh, it's nothing. Like I'm like, oh my God, I'm bleeding. Like I have to like take a day off. So she comes in. Actually, it was my nurse and she was checking me. She was in there for a bit and I was just like.
In there in the vagina?
Yeah, with her hand in there. Feeling around. I'm like, you haven't got the measurement yet? And she was like, do you have a really high pain tolerance? Because this is a nurse that's been with me all night. So she's the one that's like checking me and like feeling my stomach. And like, I think you're having contractions. Like you don't feel anything. And I was like, no, I don't. And so when she was checking me, I think because I was like so relaxed, she was like, and her hand was in there. And she's like, do you have high pain tolerance? And me and Nick looked at each other. I was like, no, I literally don't. And she was like, okay. She's like, well, you're handling this very well. And I was like, well, that's great. But I really tried this time. I took my birth course and like did these meditations and like affirmations every morning and every night and practiced like relaxing myself, like taking relaxing breaths. And I really feel like that helped me so much, like staying relaxed, because in this course, she was talking a lot about how like fear and tension or tension creates pain and fear and tension will create pain. And like if you relax and you surrender, it's just like pressure and intensity. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to like rewire your thinking, whatever. Which I also prepped for last time, but I wasn't relaxed. And this time I was like really trying to relax. And also it helped that I'd already done it. So mm-hmm. it was like I knew what to expect. But anyways, so I checked me. I was at like a 4.5 or something. And she was like, okay, well, let's just wait a couple hours, see if labor progresses on its own. If it doesn't, we'll like break your water or like try something mm-hmm. else, but we'll just give you a couple hours. So I also think what helped with my like pain levels was
took my epidural. Like,
I'm like, I took heavy medication. No, I took this supplement. It's called Birth Prep. Okay. I'm not a doctor. So you're going to have to ask your doctor if you're pregnant, whatever. Our friend Danny told me about it and was like, I swear this put me into labor. She went into labor at like 38 weeks and she had a very fast first labor. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me, she was like, I swear that these and dates like really helped. And those are the two things I didn't do last time. Last time I was drinking the tea. I was taking the evening primrose oil, whatever it is. I was curb walking. I was like trying to do everything, but I didn't do the dates last time. And I didn't even know about the supplement last time. So anyways, the supplement that you take, it's linked on my Amazon storefront.
Linked on your Amazon storefront.
It is, but you don't have to get it from Amazon. But if you do want the link, there's like, it's called Birth Prep. And Danny was like, I swear by it. And I was very skeptical. I was like, okay, I tried everything last time. I don't think it really like helps.
Sometimes people just attribute like.
Yeah, like what they did before.
What they did. It's like, oh, maybe that was it. Yeah, I get it.
So I was looking at the ingredients of this, though, and it's like red raspberry leaf tea. It's just. Like herbs, mm-hmm. like a supplement. The main purpose of the supplement is to tone your uterus. Hmm. And I was thinking, I mean, I'm not a doctor and I literally could just be making this up, but I was assuming because I got to a 5, you guys, I had not felt pain at all till I was a 5. And last time I was in so much pain for literally a full day and to get to a 4 even. And so I was like, what's the difference? Obviously, I think it does help that my body had done it before, mm-hmm. so it knew what to do. But also, I'm like, maybe my uterus is just genuinely stronger because I took these supplements like all the time. I don't know. Conspiracy theory. But anyways, so it was like 3:30 a.m. to like 5. I started feeling like a little bit more pressure with the contractions. And I told Nick, I'm like, you got to go to bed because he had been up with me this whole time. I'm like, it's getting late. If this labor goes on for another full day, like, I'm going to need you. So mm-hmm. you need to get rest now while I'm okay. Like, I just want to sit on my ball, my medicine ball, do hip circles, like, really try to work with my contractions mm-hmm. to get the baby low. And he was like, okay, like, I'll try. So he was kind of, like, in and out of sleep. And I was just sitting on my ball, like, breathing through my contractions, doing little circles on the medicine ball. And I also was, like, again, comparing last time to this time, I did not like try to work with my contractions at all. Like last I was just laying there. Yeah. Letting them happen to me. I'm just like on the bed like, oh, these hurt. And they'd be like, move around, like get up and walk around. They told me to do the medicine ball last time. Like they're trying to get me to move around to get the baby to mm-hmm. drop more because like Case wasn't dropping very well. And that's why it was taking me forever. Mm. But I also was like not doing anything to help. I was just like, I just want to lay. I'm tired. So
but also, yeah, your labor lasted so long. Yeah. I mean, you were probably just exhausted.
No, I was for sure. I didn't sleep at all last time. But this time I was like, okay, I need to get this baby as low as possible so he comes out and I don't have to be here forever. So I was like really trying to relax to let the baby come down because sometimes it's very easy to like tense up with a contraction because it's like you're in pain.
Yeah.
And to just like hold on until you're done. But if you relax, especially like learning how to relax your anal sphincter, which is just like your pelvic floor. But if you think about like relaxing your butthole, like
yeah,
that helps your it relax so that the baby can like come down easier. Mm. So I was like really trying to do that, like relaxing my whole body, you know, being zen. And that, yeah, I did that until like 5 a.m. And at 5 a.m., I have like this documented because I was texting my doula who wasn't there yet. She was like, text me when you want like hands-on help, like when you want me there, when things start getting intense. So I kept being like, okay, well, I'm barely feeling any pain. I wouldn't even call it pain at this point. I'm just feeling pressure. And like, I can tell I'm the contractions are getting stronger. I was timing all of them. They were getting closer together. But again, I was just so used to a long labor. I was like, this is going to take, I'll probably give birth. I was thinking, this was at 4 a.m. in the morning. It's like, I'll probably give birth tonight, like later that day, like 7 p.m. or something like that. And so, okay, at 5 a.m., I texted my doula and I said, I haven't talked to my midwife yet about breaking my water. My contractions are pretty consistent, about every 3 to 4 minutes, lasting about a minute each, and they're getting a little more intense. So I'll probably keep laboring for a couple hours more. And then an hour later, so at 5:58, Nick texted her because my contractions were getting like just very quickly, we're getting closer together and more intense. And I had to hold them at this point. I was like, yeah, almost at 6 a.m. I was like, let's get the tub started because they can do like a tub with hot water. You can lay in the tub. It's so nice. It feels great. But it takes them a little bit, like it takes them a while to fill it up because they have to use like the sink or the shower or something. I don't know. So I think at like 5:30, I told them to get the tub ready. So it took them probably like 30, 40 minutes to get the tub set up. But at 5:58, Nick texted our doula and was like, hi, things are progressing well at this time. We talked to the midwife. She agreed we should just keep it going on its own because we're not going to break her water or anything like that. But Chelsea's about to get into the pool. If you want to start heading over soon, her contractions are getting stronger. And I had told him to text her that at 6 a.m. I was like, maybe. But I also at that time was like, I don't want her to be here too soon. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to have her here all day. So I was just like, maybe text her. But like, my contractions are getting more intense now. So I was at 6 a.m. Okay. I'm literally walking over to the tub. And with every contraction, it's getting like genuinely every contraction was getting more and more intense. Where I was like, okay, this is kind of picking up quick. I went from like bouncing, laughing through my contractions to like, okay, this is like, okay, that one's a little more intense. I could still talk in the middle, like during the breaks. But while it was happening, I was definitely having to like really think about breathing through them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking over to get into the tub. You guys, this looked so heavenly. It was like 101 degrees. They're like checking the temperatures, this big hot tub basically just for you. And you get to go in there. And at this point, I was kind of getting uncomfortable. So I was like, okay, I really want to get in that tub. I start walking over.
Like water is like the best relief.
The best, yeah.
I mean, I haven't had contractions. And you're just so, it's just like, oh.
It's like even when you have period cramps.
Yeah. Like a warm shower or warm bath, you're just like, oh, it feels so good.
I know.
Yeah.
And at this point too, I felt like my contractions felt just like a bad period cramp.
Mm.
Like they didn't feel worse than that at this point. So that is also why I was like, this is going to take a long time because I was just so used to last time where it was just like so intense the whole time.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my gosh, kill me. So I'm walking over to the tub and I like reach down because I feel something come out and I'm like, oh,
come out of what?
My vagina.
Okay.
And I'm like, what is this? And it's like bloody membrane. And I was like, okay. So I was like, I'm definitely dilating like pretty fast because I don't know what it is.
Now, what's the bloody membrane? Because I don't know what we're
it's
talking about.
It's just like,
here.
I don't really, that didn't happen to me last time. I didn't know. It's just like,
I don't know.
It's just like gooey, bloody mess.
Is that when they say something about like strip your membranes? Is that what?
Maybe that is. Maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the membrane is of it all, but something was coming out. So I was like, okay, I'm definitely like, something's happening. Like I'm opening up because things are falling out. So, so they had to clean me up. And then I'm like having a contraction again. I'm like, oh no, I'm like, so literally 2 steps away from the tub. And the nurse looks at me. She's like, are you feeling pushy? And I was like, no, I don't think so. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, am I? Like, there was a lot of pressure, like, on my pelvis, it felt like. And I was like, no, I don't. She's like, because at that hospital, you cannot give birth in the tub. It's like a liability. Like, they will get mad at you. They're like, you cannot push in the tub. As soon as you feel pushy, you have to get out. And she told me that like three times. She's like, if you feel pushy, you have to get out of the tub. And I was like, okay, okay. And so she's like, you don't feel pushy. I was like, no. And then right after she asked me, I had another contraction. I'm like, oh, shit. And I literally looked at my midwife who was there at that point. And Nick said, I didn't know what was going on. But Nick was like, at this point, this nurse that had been with me all night, I think she knew that you were going to be pushing in like 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. So she was like calling the midwives. Like, I wasn't paying attention. She was calling the midwives like, we need to get someone in here. Like, this baby's coming soon. Like, we need to get the newborn team in here. Like, we need to get things rolling. But I was not paying attention. So that's why she was like looking at me like, do you feel pushing? I was like, no, no. And then the midwife was there at that point. And she was like, hey, Chelsea, how's it going? I was like, oh, good. Then I had a contraction. And I was like, oh, I feel like I have to poop. And she's like, the midwife just laughed. She's like, you're not getting in the tub. And she's like, I was like, no. I was like, please. She's like, no. She's like, and then from then, my contractions were so close together and so literally got so intense so fast where after she said that and after I was like, I feel like I have to poop. By the way, when I guess that's like a thing, like when women say that, like, I need to poop. I need to go to the bathroom.
The baby and they're is like,
in, yeah, like that's actually just the baby because it's all the same. Like, yeah, everything all, down like, there pressure. Feels, yeah, you feel like you have to poop.
Yeah.
Because it's so much pressure down there. And if you do have to poop, the poop's probably going to come. So you do actually have to poop as well. So I said, I was like, I have to poop. And then that's why she was like, you're not getting the tub, girl. Yeah. Like, you're having this baby in like 2 seconds. So I literally turned around and started, after she said that and after I like, had that one last contraction, my doula walked in and she got there at like 6:30 or like 6:40 maybe. And from the moment, like luckily my doula got there, I entered transition, which is like when your contractions start becoming insanely intense and you're about to push.
We are going to take a quick ad break to talk about the Nike Indie Bra and the Universa Legging. We are so excited about this sponsorship. We've both been wearing Nike gear since we were teenagers for any sports we were in or physical activities. We always know that we can rely on Nike. So how do you take your breaks? Do you go for a walk or a workout class? Do you like to meal plan, run to the grocery store, maybe grab coffee with a friend? You can do all of that and more in style with the Nike Indie Bra and Universa Legging. The Indie Bra now comes in 3 support levels, low, medium, and high. I personally like a high support secure feeling bra for when I'm running or doing a cycling class, but I don't want to be wearing that all day. I like something lighter with thinner straps and smoother edges for running errands or doing things around the house. And luckily, the Nike Indie Bra has both of those options and a medium option for the in-between. All 3 are so soft and look so flattering on. The Nike Universa leggings are perfect to pair with the Indie Bra. They really help smooth and lift, stretching freely with your every move. Wherever your workout takes you, their squat-proof, mid-weight, and finish-smooth fabric gives you uncompromising comfort and feels cool and sleek to the touch. Plus, they're durable enough for you to flex, wash, and wear again and again. They're the pair you'll reach for whether you need something for your everyday run, everyday practice, or just every day. Find your feel with Nike bras and leggings that deliver supportive flexibility and comfort for whatever your day brings. Shop now at Nike.com, and that will be linked in the show notes for you guys, as always.
Chelsea and I are in our financially responsible era. We've been trying to be for the past little bit. You know, it's time to be adults. And one of the ways that you can save money is by using Rocket Money. This is one of our favorite sponsors because this has genuinely improved both of our lives, helped us save money and become more on top of our finances. So you can find subscriptions that you forgot about, that you like paid for twice. Maybe you purchased or you got a subscription to something because you wanted a free trial to like watch something or use a specific service, but then you ended up not really using it and you're just paying monthly for this thing that you kind of forgot about. And you're wasting a lot of money. Also, canceling the subscriptions can be hard to like find those sneaky little things that are costing you money. It can be time consuming to cancel them yourself and just be kind of one of those like daunting tasks that you keep putting off. So Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills.
It's really nice because you can see all of your subscriptions in one place. So if you see something that you don't want, you can cancel it with just a tap, which is amazing because you don't have to get on the phone with customer service. I've done this multiple times with things, again, that I've been paying twice for or some subscription I haven't used in years. They'll even try to get you a refund for the last couple months of wasted money and negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/whatwesaid. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/whatwesaid. It'll be linked in the show notes for you. So I turned around and I literally just like held onto the bed and squatted down because I was like, I gotta put, like, this baby's coming out. Like, this pressure is insane. I have to push. Like, I cannot hold this in anymore. So I like literally turned around right after he said that. My doula walks in and I like squat and just start pushing. And so I'm like holding Nick's hand and holding my doula's hand and I'm like literally squatting all the way down onto the floor. I look down and I see my midwife like has her gloves on. She's like literally going like this. Like, I'm like, oh wait, I'm like pushing this baby out. She's like ready to catch this baby. She's like putting paper towels like on the floor. And this was at 7 a.m. Okay, at this point, because this is when unfortunately everyone changes shifts at 7. So like the night people go home and the new people come in at 7. So I had, my midwife was changing shifts with actually the same midwife who delivered Case came in at like 7. So I had two midwives and they had an intern. So I basically had three midwives. Then my nurse who had stayed with me all night was just going to like stay a little extra because she, I don't know. So the new nurses were coming in, but she was staying. So all of a sudden there's like literally 8 people in my room, which, you know, isn't usually ideal when you're giving birth because especially at 7 a.m. Like the sun's shining. It's not as like, oh, it's a dark, cozy cave. Like there's direct sunlight on me, like 8 people around. I'm like butt naked, just like on this squatting on the ground. Anyways, I did the squat like 2 or 3 times and I got very tired. My legs and my arms, Nick's like, you need to get on the bed. Like, you can't be doing this, like your arms. And so I was like, yeah, I'm really tired. So I got on the bed and basically was like facing the wall, holding onto the back of the bed, turned around on my knees and started pushing like that. And I probably pushed like, I don't know how many times, a couple times. And I remember thinking, like, at that point, I was still holding myself, like, very together. Like, I was not yelling. I was not, and not that it's bad to yell. There's nothing that says that, like, yelling is not zen. But for me, if I'm, like, yelling and screaming and, like, shaking, I'm feeling fear and tension. I'm not feeling, like, you know, I'm not surrendering and not being in the right mindset, I guess. So at this point, I was still like holding it together and like, okay, breathing through and like trying to just let it happen because your body just starts like taking over and doing it. So I'm like pushing and I can feel him. He's like so
low.
Close. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, this pressure is insane. I feel like, not to scare anybody, but literally feels like my body's being ripped in half. Like, I literally can feel I need this baby out of me. But it's not like the difference of birth pain and regular pain is it's just so different. It's not like scary pain unless you, I guess, let it be scary, but you know it's for a purpose. So it's not like you snap your leg in half or something and you're just like, oh my gosh, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, you know what's happening. You know it's for a purpose. You know people have done it every day, every 5 seconds, you know?
Right.
So it's a little different, but it is like insanely intense, especially at the very end. I was just like, oh my gosh. But I had this thought literally like, my water hasn't broken yet. And I didn't know that, like, you can have the baby without, you know, your water breaking. And so I was like, oh, my gosh, they're going to have to, like, break my water before this baby comes out. Like, I thought I was close. Are you telling me that I'm going to have to, like, stop and have them, like, I was thinking this in my head as I'm pushing. But then they're like, okay, he's crowning. And I was like, oh, my gosh, okay, I guess he's coming out. And I never felt my water break, but I guess, like, right before he came out, my water broke.
Oh.
But I didn't feel it. I didn't know. But I just remember thinking that, like, oh, shiz. And then as he's crowning, you, like, feel the ring of fire or whatever. And I remember last time I felt the ring of fire for, like, 1 second, and it was gone. Like, he came out, best relief of your life, literally. And this time, like, I was feeling the ring of fire, and I'm like, how am I acknowledging in my head that I'm feeling the ring of fire? Because
why is it not over yet?
Yeah, why exactly? Why is it not over yet? Like, this is happening and this is feeling very intense. And one of the midwives was like, we need you to lift your leg up. I'm like, ma'am, there's a head hanging out like on the brink. And also at this point, I actually started freaking out. Like, there was a moment where I yelled and was like, kind of got like scared. I had like a moment of panic because I'm like, I think it's actually very normal to have like a moment in birth where you, it's almost like a rite of passage where you think like, I can't do this. Like, yeah. Shiz, like, this is too intense. I can't do this.
Yeah.
So I had that moment like right before he was crowning. Rewind to a second ago. I was like, I can't. I was like, I screamed and I was like trying to push with my, I was like yelling, screaming for a second. And my midwife came over and was like, use your breath to like breathe him down. Like, don't use your throat. And I was like, okay. And then I like started like whatever. But I really had this moment of just like, I have to push him out. Like, I think it's just like the moment of realizing like, I have to do this. Like, I have no other choice. And it's very empowering, like a very beautiful feeling to be like, oh my gosh, like such self-doubt where and such fear of like, what if I can't do this? And then but realizing like, I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can and I have to.
Yeah. And you will, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Which is also kind of like, oh shiz, like I have to do this.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so his head was coming out and then I'm like, my contraction was gone. And if you don't know, like you push with your contractions. So your body's like kind of pushing for you. But at this point, you get to use the contractions and like push the baby down. So my contraction was like gone. So I didn't have like the thing pushing. And I was like, I don't want to stop pushing right now because then it's going to like turtle back in like the baby's head. And then I'm going to have to like start over. So it's either I quit right now and then the baby's head's going to go back in, or I just keep pushing on my like own and just try and get him out now. So I just kept pushing. I was like holding it. They're like, hold it, hold it. And they're like so encouraging. But I'm like, dude, I'm going to like, I got to take a break. And they're like, hold it, hold it. And then they're like, will you lift your leg up? I'm like, can you do it for me? But I lift him up, like, because I guess his shoulder was, like, in the way or his hand or something. So I had to lift my leg up to, like, kind of get him out. And then literally he just plopped out. Like, right after they're like, lift your leg, I literally stood up because I was like, I'm not, like, really in the position to just be, like, a dainty little. So I literally, like, was on my knees and just, like, stood up. And I remember thinking, like, if someone doesn't yank this baby out of me right now, like, I don't care what you have to do, yank this baby out. Like, it was, like, right there where it's just, like,
so much pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically, he literally plopped out is what it feels like. But it is literally, you guys, the best feeling ever, like, of relief because you have this huge, he was 9 pounds also, a 9-pound baby. You have this 9-pound thing sitting on your pelvis for months. And months, and then it's just getting bigger and bigger, more uncomfortable, and you're in labor, and it's like all of this buildup, and then the baby comes out, and it's just like
gone,
and it literally just is the best relief ever. It's the best feeling. And they kept, like, they said that right when he was pushing, and they were like trying to get his shoulder out, where I was like, I'm feeling the ring of fire. They're like, keep pushing, and you're about to feel the best relief of your life. And I was like, I know, I've done this before, but also that's not necessarily like the easiest thing, whatever. So he plops out and they push him literally like he's sitting and they basically just push him underneath my legs, like towards me. Cause I'm like, remember on my knees, basically leaning over the side of the bed or the back of the bed. And so I just sit back and he's like literally in my lap.
Aww.
And so I just like pick him up and my doula did take a video, which we'll never see the light of day because people are like, should I film my birth? And I'm like, I think you should film your birth if you have time to, like, first of all, I think when you're laying down and you get the baby, and especially if you have an epidural and you're like strapped up, but you're like, you literally have like your hair done and your makeup and you're just like laying there and you're not like in a very primal position.
Yeah. And your baby's just, the like, handed to you on your chest.
That, it's like, okay. Yeah, that's the videos kind of... I see of that, I'm like, oh, that's more like appropriate, I feel like, for sharing. You know, like on social media and stuff.
Yeah.
Like when I see, plus you're usually like clothed from here.
Mm-hmm.
You usually have like a gown on or something.
Yeah.
Or it's like easy to take off or whatever. So, but you're not seeing anything.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it was last time. Like the pictures I got and like video I got last time, I was laying on my back. So it was like much, this angle is not, let's just say it's not aesthetic. Okay. Like it's beautiful. And I watched the video. I was like, this is an amazing video, but my doula did do it in 0.5. Which, you know, she wanted to get the whole picture.
Not 0.5.
It's 7 a.m. and the windows are all open, direct sunlight. I'm butt naked. Like, I'm
on all
so
fours.
Vulnerable. So vulnerable.
Just, I am.
Okay, anyway, so I sit back. It really is like, I will cherish the video forever. No one will ever see this video. And you literally see the baby. Like, he falls out and he just like plops and they push him to my leg and I just like sit back And I'm in so much shock because I'm like, that was so effing fast. Like, so mind you, I texted my doula at like 6 a.m. I texted my doula at like 6 and literally 30, 45 minutes later, the baby was out. The baby was born. So she got there right in, on time. And I was just so shocked that it all happened so fast. Like I progressed so fast. Literally within like 4 hours, I went from like, oh yeah, everything's fine, to then the baby was in my arms and it was 7 a.m.
That's so different than your original experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just wasn't expecting that. And I sat down, and this time, because it was so short and I wasn't in pain really until like the last 30 minutes, like I really only felt 30 minutes of like intense pain, which was a breeze. You can do anything for 30 minutes. And anyways, I just sat down and I like had him, and I was just sitting up, and I was so aware and so awake this time versus last time. I was literally dead, like could not even push at the end. I was just so tired and just exhausted and mentally just gone. I remember like my face was just pale last time. My hair was disgusting. Like I was just not okay. This time I was so aware, so awake. Felt like I just went on, like I sprinted and didn't. Last time I felt like I ran a freaking marathon.
Yeah.
This time it felt like I just ran a sprint or like did a hard workout. And that's how I felt afterwards. I was like on this adrenaline high. I'm looking at this baby. I cannot believe that he's there. Like it just will always shock me. I feel like even if I had 10 kids, like each time it's just so insane that you're like, that was just in me. I'm meeting this new little amazing, pure, beautiful human being. And I'm sitting there, the cord's still in me. And I'm just like, this is the most like human, most amazing, most like glorious moment of just like magic. Like it's literally just like magic and so miraculous that it just happens and you do it. You're feeling so accomplished and you also got the best prize ever.
Yes.
Like you get this new baby and you're just looking at it. Like I'm just looking at it and I remember someone was like, what's the first thing you said to the baby? And in the video, luckily I have a video of it, otherwise I wouldn't remember, but.
In 0.5.
Yeah, in 0.5. I have it forever. My hair, just everything. I was just like, oh, wow. Like this could have been like, maybe if I put it in black and white, like a ton of grain. Maybe.
Throw it in the Tezza app with the photo booth.
Literally.
Filter might do the trick.
With the little VHS like yeah. on the sides. Yeah.
0.5 close up always gives like mega mind. Like, you know how your forehead will be like 10 inches?
Yes. No. It's,
anyway, continue.
It was giving mega mind. but I like sit back and I'm holding him and I'm like, I was like, good job, buddy. Like, good job. Aww. You did it. Because it was like, that's like kind of stressful for them too. They have to, they're still alive. Like, and they're coming out and they have to like push and like, they're working too. So I was like, good job, buddy. And then 5 seconds later, I'm like, holy shit. Because I'm like, what just happened? Like, that was so intense and so fast. And this time I just, it was so nice. Like I just got to hold him, had the golden hour where you like, they're just on your chest. I did like the delayed cord clamping. I'm trying to think of like things people are asking me where you like wait till it stops pulsating the cord and before they cut it. Nick cut the cord and then you have to do the placenta thing. Somebody was asking me too about the placenta and like birthing it if it's weird or painful. And I mean, I can only speak from my experience. After you just push out a freaking 9-pound, what feels like a watermelon out of your vagina, the placenta kind of just like plops out. Like you do have to push. Like they're like, okay, you got to push it out. So you have to push, but it just
like
plops
the least
out.
Of your concerns.
Yeah, it's not like it's going to be this huge, hard thing that like physically I'm talking about like hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's very soft and just kind of plops out. And it's just the least of your worries. Mm-hmm. You're just like, okay, whatever. Do what you got to
do. How long after you deliver the baby do you do that?
I don't know. I feel like it's like 20 minutes maybe. Okay. I don't know actually the time. And also before I did the placenta, either before or after, I think after, that's when they have to like stitch you. So I did get a little like first degree tear, I think, especially when I had to like lift my leg. That didn't help. And the fact that he was freaking 9 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they had to stitch me up. I was just laying there. And again, it's like there's a bunch of things that happen after birth, but I feel like when you're, like this time, at least I was just like so awake and aware. And I was just like, just do what we got to do. Like, mm-hmm. It's fine. Nothing compares to what I just did. Like what I just felt.
Just
so
through.
This is the down. It's like an uphill, like pregnancy for me. It's like, okay, this is annoying. Gets progressively more annoying as it gets closer to the end. And then you have like the peak where it's like, okay, this was in terms of like physicality.
Mm-hmm.
This is the hardest part. And then the afterwards, it's like, okay, compared to that. You can stitch me up. You can, like, they're like, you're going to feel a pinch. They put lidocaine on you, stitch you up. You have to push. Then they come and, like, rub your stomach for the blood. Like, all of that stuff, it's like, yeah, it's not fun. But in the context of everything.
Yeah.
It's just whatever.
Yeah.
It's nothing to be scared about. It's nothing for people, like, to not have birth. Like, to, it's not a reason to, like, not give birth, I feel
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That part's not scary. It just is what it is. And then we're just laying there. Like, the nurses leave pretty quickly, and then it's just you and your partner, whoever's there with you. Like, me and Nick were just in there in absolute shock. We're like, that was so fast. I kept being like, that was insane. He's like, I know. And also, it was a weird, different experience, because last time it was like, oh my gosh, we're parents all of a sudden, and like, we're meeting this baby. And then this time it was like a different experience, because it was like, this is a whole new baby. Like, yeah, this is nothing. A
whole different person.
Yeah, their own person. So you're meeting this, you don't even process the fact you can have two different babies.
Right.
So it was just like such a cool, positive experience. It was like, it felt decent, not easy, but it felt easier than my last birth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just such an angel. Like, he just came out and like instantly had this like very, I remember saying all the time, like, oh, I feel like he's crazy. Like, he's an Aries. Like, he's going to be crazy. And he, I mean, knock on wood, and so far he's only a couple weeks old, but he is the sweetest, like, the sweetest demeanor, like, mm-hmm, so chill, so just like an angel baby. Every time me and Nick, like, he is an angel. And we thought Case was a good baby. Like, we were like, I was scared to have another one. I'm like, everyone I would tell, I'm like, my first was a pretty good sleeper. He's a pretty good eater. And they're like, oh, that second one, yeah, just prepare. And again, literally knock on wood, cross your fingers. It's literally only been a couple weeks, but so far he's literally been even easier. Like, he's been just such a good sleeper, such a good eater. And again, it's not that it's like a flaw for babies to cry or be fussy or whatever, but he just like has this very sweet demeanor, mm-hmm, about him. I don't know. So that's also why we went with the name that we did. His name's Elwood, Elwood Heart. And we had a couple names going into it, that one of them was Jesse and the other one was Heart. So it was like Heart, Elwood, or Jesse. And when he came out, we were just like, because his demeanor and like his hair, just the way that he looked, like everything about him, we're like, this is
so
Elwood.
Much it's
just
hair.
Yeah, it just is. That's his name. There's just no question about it. And shout out to my friend Tracy, because she literally named my child. People were asking me how we came up with that name. Literally at your birthday lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about how I didn't have any baby names, like boy names. I was like, it's so hard to like name a baby. A second one too. Like, we already used all our boy names, and I just had not seen any names that I liked. Like, I just could not. I literally started looking at lists at that point. I'm like, yeah, none of these are hitting. None of the, even my own list, none of them felt like right. And I was just at a loss. I was genuinely like, I don't know what this kid's name's going to be. Like, nothing looks right. And then I was joking with like Tracy. I was like, if you guys have any baby list names or names you want to share with me, go for it. Which is obviously a joke, because people don't share their baby names. Like, that's a very well known
thing.
The
one thing you gatekeep.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple days later, I get a text from Tracy actually sending me her baby name list of her boys. And she was like, these are all my boy names. They're all so cute. She's like, I genuinely don't care about boy names. Like, I only care about like these couple girl names that I really care about using. She's like, feel free to use any of these. I was like, you don't understand how selfless that is.
The most selfless act.
Yeah. And honestly, a lot of her names were already on my list. Like, she had Jesse on there. She had a couple of them. And then I saw Elwood. It was like the second to last one. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am obsessed with that. I love that. That hits. Like, that is feeling right to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I messaged her back and I was like, okay, these are all so cute. I was like, I love Elwood. She's like, I know. It's actually her, one of her best friends, or her grandpa's name and her dad's middle name. And so it was like a family name of her friends. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love that. And so I went over to get my haircut from Tracy, and Christy was there, whose grandpa's literally name is Elwood. I was like, Christy, I'm going to name my child after your grandpa. She's like, he's the best. He was always dancing. Like, he's such a nice guy. And I was like, all right, do you guys care if I use that? Because I love it. And they're like, oh my gosh, no, go for it. So I told Nick, and Nick loved it. And then, yeah, we were going back and forth. Obviously, we just had a couple. And then when he came out, we're just like, it's just works.
It fits him like perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah, they look so different.
I know,
like,
they look
the boys are
so different. It's so crazy. Like, he came out at first, we're like, they do kind of look like each other, because babies are so swollen when they first, mm-hmm, come out. So their faces are just so puffy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, he does. Like, the pictures of when Case first came out and Elwood first came out, they do look similar, because, mm-hmm, they're both just like puffy faces. And
yeah.
But then as the days went on, we were like, they genuinely don't look like each other at all. Like, one of them looks like Nick and the other one looks like my family. Like,
mm-hmm,
just the features wise, they just have completely different features, like everything. We were trying to find one similarity. We're like, no, they're completely different, which is fun. It's like they're their own little people.
Yeah.
Case loves him. Like, I was so nervous, but Case absolutely loves him. Like, is always like, I want to hold baby brother. Like, let me hold him. And you came over to take pictures of them. And that's how he is all the time with him now. He's just like, I want to hold him. That's sometimes a little too rough.
Yeah.
Literally like squeeze him. But yeah, he was very excited when he came to the hospital. This is the last little thing I'll share. But when he came to the hospital, so after you have to stay at the hospital for like 24 hours, at least at the hospital we go to. And so we were being discharged basically like the next morning. And we wanted Case to come to the hospital with us or to meet Elwood there. And then we were going to drive home together. So like Nick was going to go pick him up. So that he didn't like come to the hospital and then have to go home without us. And then we're just there with this new baby. And I was just nervous that like Case was going to be his whole world turning upside down. And that he wasn't going to like him, that he wasn't going to understand, that he was going to be mad at us. But he came in and he like brought his like toy excavator. And he came in and I was just sitting on the bed and Elwood was asleep in his little like bassinet thing. And like Case came on the bed with me and he was like asking, I was like, there's your baby brother. And he like turned around. And he's like, he's sleeping. Like instantly, first of all, like realized he was a baby, which we were like, is he going to know that this is like a living being? And he was like, we're like, his name's Elwood. And also naming a baby is so embarrassing. Beth was talking about this with us and she was cracking us up because she was like, it's so embarrassing to name a baby. And then you have to pick the name. Then you have to admit to people you like that name and you put that on your baby for the rest of their life and you make other people call them that.
Yes, like this is their name and please call them that.
And I like this name.
Yeah.
You know? And it is weird, like the first couple days of naming a baby, you're like, oh my
gosh. Even if it feels right, I'm sure you're just like, I feel like I'm playing pretend. Like,
yes, it feels like you're playing house.
This is my baby that I just named this. Okay, everyone now follow suit.
You feel like you're being fake. Like, honestly, it feels like you're being fake. You're just like, this is their name. It's like you just met them, like literally 10 minutes ago.
You don't even know them.
Yeah, you don't even know them. You're like, this is Elwood, everybody. It's like, what? So we're like, we were still kind of in that like mode where we're like, I think it's Elwood. Like, we're filling out the birth certificate. It feels like Elwood, but there's always like this little bit of me that's like, right? We did the right name, right?
Yeah.
And like, his name's Elwood. First of all, if you remember, Case wanted to name him Orange Helicopter. And we would say, do you like the name Jesse? No. Do you like the name Elwood? No, Elwood. Like, he didn't like any of the names we would ask him. So we stopped asking him. But anyways, like, his name's Elwood. And he turns around. He's like, oh, hi, Elwood. And Nick and I instantly were like, okay, that's the right name. The way he says Elwood is so cute.
So freaking cute.
And he just acknowledged him right away. He's like, hi, baby brother. So he's like sitting on my lap and I like Nick took this video and it is so cute. I'm like trying not to be too much like, go say hi to your baby brother.
Yeah.
And he had his excavator and he like turns around. I don't remember what I said, but I think I was like, are you going to show baby brother? And he's like, and he just like turns around. And he's like, look, baby brother, I brought an excavator. And he literally just starts talking to him. So then me and Nick like start crying because it's like the first time they're interacting.
Yeah.
And he's just instantly like, look, I brought an excavator.
Oh,
and you
my
hear
gosh.
Him and he's like, look, Elwood.
Stop.
And literally,
it's too much.
No, it's too much. And he starts going over the parts of the excavator, like leaning over the bassinet. First of all, Elwood's asleep. His eyes are completely closed. And Case is like, this is the boom. This is the... I don't even know the parts of the excavator. He's like, this is the bar or whatever. He's like, this is the bucket. Elwood, these are the teeth. And like going over them. And me and Nick are hysterically sobbing. Like, it was the sweetest moment. And he was just being so nice.
Aww.
And we didn't make him hold him or anything like that. We asked him, like, do you want to hold him? And he was like, eh. We're like, okay, you don't have to. Also, we don't really trust you to hold him at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, ever since we were like, okay, that was the first thing. But on the way home, he kept being like, look, Elwood, trees have leaves. Trees have leaves.
The cutest older brother energy. Just trying to teach him everything already.
Also, like, leading him. I'm like, this is Capricorn energy. Like,
please.
Leading him, like, teaching him already. Like, okay, this is how the world works.
Yeah.
So cute. So it's been great. And postpartum, I can get into that, like, another episode. I mean, there's not much to say besides been good. Like, because my labor was so much faster, I feel like my recovery has been faster. It's been easier. Like, my bottom doesn't hurt as bad as it did last time. It's just been normal.
When you FaceTimed me, like, a few hours after you had him.
Yeah.
You looked so refreshed. I'm like, I am shocked that you just had a baby.
I know. It
literally
was crazy.
Glowing and just like, I was like, okay, you had to have had like a decent labor.
I still
had
my jewelry on.
Yeah, you just looked like.
Yeah. Well,
so good. I'm like, okay, I know. Like immediately upon answering, yeah. I'm like, the birth had to have been a decent experience because you're.
I know, it's kind of scary. Like when you get a call after, you're like,
yeah.
Hey, how was it?
Yeah. And especially because I knew you're doing the balloon thing. Yeah. I was like, oh, I hope it all
went well. I know.
Yeah.
It's funny because we were like, we were finally alone. And after a while, it's like we had a couple hours and we're like, okay, like let's FaceTime like my mom and Abby. And then I think we FaceTime Nick's parents or. We FaceTimed someone, they didn't answer.
You FaceTimed me and I didn't answer. Yeah, I was at Pilates.
Then we FaceTimed you and you didn't answer. We had like called like two or three people. And we're like, okay. Literally just have this like new brand baby. We're like, okay, no one wants to. I mean, obviously they don't know. That's why we're calling.
Yeah. Well, I knew because I saw.
Oh, you were in a Pilates class.
I was in a Pilates class and I was like, I know what that call is. Well, it was, it said missed call like a few minutes. And I was like, oh. And so I got out and immediately.
No, it was fine. I mean, we weren't doing anything for the rest of the day. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I know. I still like had my jewelry on. I was going to take my jewelry off. There was so many things I was going to do before I gave birth. Like I was going to maybe put on a little bit of makeup because I was like, oh, I have like all day.
Mm-hmm.
But it just like happened so fast. I was going to take my jewelry off. Like I'm still wearing my wedding rings. Like even in the video, I like have my like necklaces on, my earrings.
Stack on.
Yeah, definitely was not planning on having those things on when I gave birth. But yeah, anyways.
I'm glad it was a... overall positive experience. Yeah. Honestly, it is good to hear positive birth experiences.
Yeah, you gotta have a mix. You know, sometimes it is good to know.
Like realistically, some things that can happen.
Go wrong.
Yeah, but it is nice to just kind of fill your mind with like positive, good
experiences.
It can go
well, yeah.
Yeah, it can be good. And
again, it's like it is a possibility that it can, everything can work out the way that you want it to or work out well or better than you hoped.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how it was. Like there were things, obviously I wanted to like labor at home. There were certain things that I had to like let go of that I wanted, but afterwards, that's how I felt last time too. Even though it was so long and whatever, I still felt at the end of the day, I'm like, everyone's happy, healthy, safe. And like, yeah, that was, I wish I would have done A, B, and C, but it was fine.
Worth
and I did it.
And,
yeah. And you feel accomplished. You're not going to like, you can't change the past. So
yeah.
However your baby comes into this world is how they're supposed to come to this world. That's what I believe. So.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful no matter what
you
do and how you do it. However, you know, whether you get a C-section, whether you do it like unmedicated, medicated, however, induced, not induced. It's just the way your baby comes.
Yeah. Wow.
You know.
Can't believe you're, I was texting you asking if the film turned out because I came over to take some photos. And like I was texting you something. I was like, how did the film turn out of the boys? And like when I said the boys, I was like,
I know.
Oh my gosh. Because. Like, my brothers, I always call them the boys.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm talking to my mom, I'm like, how are the boys doing? Like, are the boys coming on the trip? And I'm sure you do the same with, like, your brothers. It's like, I don't know. And I was just thinking, I'm like, oh, my gosh, you
I
have
know.
Two boys. Like, it's not going to be like, oh, is Case going to come? It's going to be like,
are the boys
are you going to bring the boys? I was just
I
like,
know.
This is a weird moment where I cannot believe you have two kids. It's
I know.
It's absolutely insane.
In the hospital, Nick was talking to one of the nurses afterwards. Just like about the weather or something, literally. And he said, yeah, the other day I took my other son to whatever. I was like, other son? And this was literally 10 minutes after like Elwood had been born. I'm like, other son? That is so weird to like say.
Yeah.
Now it's normal. Now it's so normal, I think, to have the fear when you have like your second, maybe your third, I don't know. But I feel like especially your second because you just have this one baby and it's like your whole world and you can't even imagine loving anything else that much. Then when you think of having another one, you're like, how am I going to split my time? How am I going to love both of these people equally? And I think that's like what I was kind of freaking out about right before. I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm about to meet this new baby. Like things are going to change. I'm honestly nervous to meet him. Like I was more nervous to meet him than I was to meet Case because you just don't even know the first time. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Like, and then as soon as he came out, it's like,
it just makes sense.
Valid at all. Yeah, it just makes sense. And I obviously it is valid to have concerns. I'm like, I was not valid in my feelings, but it just makes sense. It's like, I love this. How do I love so much? Like, how am I loving these two people like that I brought into this world so differently, but so equally at the same time where it's like, I get it. Literally, I was like, oh, when my parents say they don't have favorites, like, I actually believe them now. Before, I was like, there's no way. Like,
yeah, it's me, obviously.
Yeah, it's definitely not me. They have to love somebody more. Mm-hmm. And now I get it. Now I'm like, no, it just is what it is. Like, maybe if one of them, when they're older, is super nice to you, the other one's freaking mean. Like, you probably would rather be around
like
one of them
favorite,
more.
Maybe, in the, or not a favorite. Yeah, like a someone, preference mm-hmm. of like, oh, I'd rather be around this one at this moment. But.
Yeah, but the love is so intense. And I kept thinking right after too, like even when we're in the hospital, I'm like, I'm so excited for JC and Leif to have this aww. Experience and just to be like looking at your new baby. And you're just, it's such, and because I knew last time, the first time you experience it, you're just in it. And this time I feel like things have been slower and faster at the same time, because mm-hmm. I just understand how fast that day goes. Even mm-hmm. like the day in the hospital where you're just like you and your baby and it's like the best day ever. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking like, oh my gosh, I just know that one day they're going to be 2 years old. And yeah. like I'm going to be thinking of this day, looking at videos of this day. And then even when we took him home, I was just like, oh my gosh.
This is going to go so
this
fast.
This is going to go so yeah. fast. One day he's not going to fit in the newborn clothes. And I just know that that day is going to come and it's going to be so sad. But
it like makes you more aware of yeah. everything.
I know. But yeah. it's so special. It'll be so fun and exciting.
Yeah. I am very excited. It honestly makes it feel more real whenever I've come over and seen yeah. him and stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh.
That little
like,
thing.
Yeah. I said that type of thing. That, like that type of thing is in me. But like just yeah. knowing that there is a baby in my stomach that like kicks me all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I cannot believe that like she's going to be brought into this earth. And like at some point soon, I'm going yeah. to be like holding her.
I know.
I just can't. I really can't comprehend it. But I do think like seeing you mm-hmm. postpartum does make it feel more real where I'm like, yeah. oh my gosh, it's this is coming happen. Like sooner. Because I even remember not milestones, but like certain weeks that you were like when you were whatever amount of weeks when we went on a trip or something.
Yeah.
And now like I'm at those weeks and I'm yeah. like, oh my gosh.
It's
like
coming
it's
soon.
It's coming. And mm-hmm. now he's here and he's a few weeks old. So yeah. I just know it's going to fly by.
I know.
It's absolutely
crazy.
Insane. Wait, I did really quickly want to say something. People were messaging me. I got tons of messages that Tyson gave away my baby's name on
the episode.
Oh yeah, I saw
that. People were messaging me. I was like, no, he didn't.
And he didn't at all. And I was so confused by the message. I was like, he did. Okay. But basically what he was saying is he was talking about Coco, yeah. who is Tessa's daughter. And he was like, yeah, like who's my flower girl going to be? Is it going to be your daughter? Is it going to be Coco? And people thought that he was yeah. like referring to my daughter as Coco. Mm-hmm. But that's not her name. I don't know. I just want to say yeah. like,
I did get messages from, like, I think Tyson spelled JC's baby name. I was like, I don't think so. I don't know what they're talking about.
I was so confused. I'm like, he didn't even know my baby. Like, he didn't even remember yeah. the name that I had told, whatever. So yeah. I was like, there's no way he spilled it.
Yeah.
But then I went back and listened. I was like, oh, they're referring to Coco as mm-hmm. the name that they think it is. So anyway.
Yeah, you guys are going to have to wait for that.
That's
one.
Not her name. That people was are always messaging reveal. Me thinking that I'm like.
Saying the name.
Saying it or like that there was a hint like, oh, is it? And I'm like.
Yeah.
I don't even know for sure. I promise I haven't spilled it.
Spilled the tea.
I haven't spilled the tea yet. And I'm still debating. So yeah,
I know.
Stay tuned
it'll be
on
fun.
That. But yeah, that'll be fun. So happy for you guys.
Thank you.
I feel like it's been such a, I mean, obviously, I don't want to speak for you. I'm like, postpartum has been amazing for her. But I feel like it has just by your like demeanor.
Yeah.
Seems like it's been like a pretty positive.
Yeah.
It's experience overall. I know I'm sure there's lots of hard moments, yeah. but.
I also feel like this time, again, I can get in. This is a long episode, but we knew that it was going to be. So.
Yeah.
There definitely is, or there's like hormonal things that will happen that I'm like the baby blues day three. But mm-hmm. I also understand that it is a lot of hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easier to kind of like work through them. Same with a lot of anxiety that I had the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I was calling the nurse's line every day. Like, is my newborn okay? His eyes are crossing. Like, is this rash okay? Like, is this whatever? Constantly mm-hmm. calling and freaking out. Is this breathing okay? And this time, because I know my anxiety has been so much better, even when I have like intrusive thoughts, like I did last time, I just never experienced that before, especially with something you love so much. So I feel like this time, like I will still kind of have like anxieties and intrusive thoughts, but they kind of roll off my shoulders a little more where I'm like, okay, I've been here. Yeah, I feel like it's almost just instinctual to have mm-hmm. these thoughts of like, how do I save my baby in this situation?
Yeah.
What if the baby does this?
And to be fair, you don't, if you've never experienced something, like I would imagine, okay, if my daughter has, yeah, like some sort of like breathing thing or a rash, yeah, it's like, you're like, well, I'm in charge of this human, so I'm not going to just ignore it. Like, mm-hmm. I'd rather just call and get verification.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it's fine. I could totally understand how. Even the second time, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, well, I've done this before. And last time, it was
normal.
Fine.
I
know that's normal. But the first time, you're like, I've never experienced this. And I'm not going to, like, risk just being like, eh, she's probably fine. And then something happens and it's, like, on me to take care. I could totally see how that would just be a stressful thing.
Yeah, I think it's very normal, especially if you haven't been around newborns.
Yeah.
Because most people, their newborn baby is not out in the world for the first 4 weeks. So you don't really even see other people's newborns unless it's, like, your little brother or sister or, you know. So you'll see somebody's baby once or twice.
You're not with them for those like very fresh moments.
Yeah, so when you're with a newborn baby all the time, you don't understand that they breathe weird, that their eyes do weird things, that they just like have abnormal schedule. Like there's so many things you don't know. You don't even know
what to expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. But I do also feel like there was a lot of things I was scared about with this just in general. Even when I found out I was pregnant, I was just like so scared about a lot of things that have now, I think, I feel relief. Like after I had him, there's just a lot of relief. I feel of like, okay, the transition from 1 to 2, again, it's only been a couple weeks, so I can only speak to that. But even that has been almost easier than like 0 to 1 for us because it was like, I don't know, again, like my anxiety, lots of like emotional things. And then I was scared just like about juggling both of them. And so I just feel like a lot of relief and peace that I'm like, okay, things are going to be okay. I don't know. You know, what the future holds. But right now, they're great. And I'm just trying to, like, soak it in.
Definitely. So, wow. Well, we're going to do another episode. Like, surprise, another episode's coming out next Tuesday. We are going to do, like, another kind of catch-up episode.
Yeah.
You can speak more to, like, postpartum and what the past few weeks have been like.
I know. And I want to hear about pregnancy. I want to hear about Miami.
Yeah. I have some Miami stories. Yeah. I'll share those next week. And we can get into the updates. But yeah, I'm so happy to have you back. Yeah,
I know. It's good to be back.
It's so nice. And
it's good to be sitting on this couch on this side forever.
I want to say I did offer. I said, do you want the good side? It's your birth story. It's all you, queen. And she said, I am on this side. And I said, okay.
This is just what it is.
This is just what the people.
Just get used to this side of my face.
It's gorgeous.
Thanks.
Don't forget that we have our Coffee Dose collab, you guys. If you are in Orange County, definitely go try it out, or if you live somewhere close and can get to a Coffee Dose location, we'd love for you to try it and tell us your thoughts, tag us. Again, hopefully we run into some of you. We love you guys so, so much. And
that's what we said.
Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.